The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
I'd say we're joined on the line now by Kathleen McNamee of ESPN, amongst others. Good morning to you, Kathleen.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks. And thanks for joining us. You made an interesting point on social media yesterday, and we thought we wanted to get you on this morning to pick through a little bit. It's not something we've had huge conversations about. But the cancellation generally of women's sport, and all in the growing and menacing shadow, obviously, of a pandemic. But I guess the question about how much is being done to find a workaround for people can see on the screen there, the sports and tournaments and leagues that have been cancelled. Not enough, I suspect, Kathleen, in your view.
No, and I think the thing about it this year is obviously we are in the middle of a pandemic, and there will have to be some sort of, you know, changes made to schedules. Everyone expects that. But I think what has surprised me so much about how unprepared tournaments seem to be is the fact that we went through all this last year. You know, nearly every single major league last year in women's sport was cancelled. You had Women's Super League in England, in Spain, France, like every single major soccer league was cancelled. Frauen Bundesliga was the only one to go ahead, and that was because they got a solidarity fund from the actual Bundesliga and the Champions League teams. That was the only reason they were allowed to go ahead. The Six Nations, we saw England were the only team to actually complete their games. Obviously, Ireland weren't able to complete theirs. Rugby World Cup qualifiers were postponed. You know, at this point, we still don't even know if Ireland are going to be playing in the Rugby World Cup in September. We don't know what their qualification process is going to be. And I think, like, a lot of people accepted last year that it was fair enough that these things had to be cancelled. It was a pandemic. You know, we weren't prepared for that situation. But I kind of wonder why this year they weren't better prepared, considering like the worst case scenario would be the pandemic continuing. You know, we've seen this week the Six Nations has been postponed, and we have no start date for the Ladies European Tour. It could be May before they come back. Premier 15s has also been postponed. And even it's not even the postponements, it's the organization of the leagues as well, I think, which is concerning. You know, Premier 15s is considered the rugby league in England. It's considered an elite sport, but it's not really treated like that. They changed the rules so that the halves were 35 minutes and they reduced the number of scrums, but there's no bubbles and there's no coronavirus testings. And like a lot of the players were kind of saying, you know, reducing a scrums in a match doesn't really make a difference. You know, you're still in contact with people all the time unless you make it touch rugby. Like, there's no difference if you're on a ruck on the ground as much as if you're in a scrum and someone has coronavirus, you're going to get it. And we even saw it in November when, like, football shut down then in England. A lot of the WSL had to bring players from their academies into their teams because they, like, the girls' academy shut down while the boys were allowed. And I think what we're seeing now is just a cement of the massive issues structurally that we have in women's sport. You know, the FA recognized 23 women's teams and 158 men's teams as elite. And I use that word with like a pinch of salt because, you know, what do you class as elite in that situation? So I think what we're seeing is just like an example of the structural inequality that exists. And it's just disappointing to see that people weren't more prepared to actually have these go ahead.
Yeah. I think that, like, the first thing people would say is, and you've mentioned it yourself, obviously, we're in a pandemic, and that's the context for all of this. But I think the point being that, like, I read the Six Nations statement in relation to the cancellation of the Women's Six Nations, and they talk about the amateur status of the game, which isn't entirely true, obviously, given that England are very much not that, and there's a semi-amateur status, basically, for most of the other countries. But that doesn't apply to some of the other sports that you're talking about, and it does feel as if, I mean, what is your theory as to why, you know, somebody, you take the golf as an example, obviously these are athletes who make their living from the game. What's your theory or your thought? Is it a case that this is an extension almost of how we've seen in this country, particularly over the last couple of months, how women's sport is not necessarily as well served as it might be in terms of the people who should be the most vocal advocates for it?
Yeah, I think it is that. And I also think it is, no matter how much we profess to say, you know, that women's sport, it's at the forefront now, we as a society, we're still struggling to see it as anything other than secondary to men's sports and to make sure it's involved in the conversations. You know, there was talk during the week about, say, here with the GAA, should we vaccinate GAA players? And the article was in the Irish Examiner, and I read it, and like there was one mention of the ladies side of things, But the rest, every single example in the article was about the GAA, and it was about, you know, the men's players. And I think you guys had a conversation about it as well. And like listening to the conversation, it very much sounded like the men's players and like talking about should they be vaccinated rather than like both sides. And I don't think it's conscious for a lot of us. Like, I don't think anyone was sitting going, we're not going to consider this. I think we talk about All Irelands. We talk about the men's All Irelands a lot of the time. And like when we talk about sport, we're still at the stage of where we're adjusting how we think about it. But I also don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Like we saw with the National Women's League over in America, the Soccer League, they for years, fans over there have been calling for a cup tournament and they haven't had it. They've just had a normal league season. And last year when they couldn't have their normal league season, their commissioner Lisa Barrett was like, well, let's have a cup. So they did like a month-long tournament in Utah. It was super successful. They brought on all these big sponsors, and that was the only reason they actually managed to get it through, was because they brought on that sponsorship, and they got creative with it. And I think that is something to like keep in mind, especially when you talk about, say, the postponement of the Six Nations. People have been calling for the women's Six Nations to be separate to the men's for a long time, because a lot of the time, like, there's clashes of times. There's, if you have a choice between going to see like Ireland and England in Twickenham or Ireland and England in some side pitch, you know where most people are going to go, whereas this does give them an opportunity to make it a headline event and even to attract stuff like the tournament has no sponsorship at the moment. You know, would separating it from the men's, is this an opportunity for them to create a greater tournament? I don't know. I hope that's what they're thinking, but I don't know if that's what it is. And I think when you follow women's sports and you see postponements and cancellations, you get concerned, because a lot of the time when that happens, the next step is it just being voided completely. Whereas a lot of the time in men's sport, when you see things being postponed, you're like, ah, they'll do whatever they can to get it back. So I think when I tweeted that yesterday about those indefinite postponements, that's what concerns me, when they're not saying this is when we'll come back, or like this is our plan for making sure that we have a tournament and that these players get to do what they love and what is their living, basically.
And how big a factor is the sponsorship that you mentioned there, Kathleen, that there is this idea that, say, if a men's tournament doesn't go ahead, we lose out on all that sponsorship money. Whereas with the women's competitions, as you mentioned there, not actually having a sponsor, it's like, well, we're not going to lose any revenue if this thing doesn't go down. If you look at it in a very cold, callous way, the stakes are probably lower for them to actually call off women's sports. So I guess that's actually one step towards actually ensuring that there's a higher value placed on this.
Completely. And, you know, I think it's probably the reason why the Frauen Bundesliga went ahead last year, was because Germany has that 50+1 rule where like the association or the club has to have the controlling interest over commercial interest. We saw like the Women's Super League, fully professional league, completely voided for no, like it shouldn't have happened. And even now you look at things like the FA Cup, the fact like that has a sponsor and they're still talking about deciding it by a coin toss or some sort of like drawing of lots. You know, the sponsorship is really important, but I also think that it's possibly like an easier way to say this shouldn't happen, when in fact it's happening across tournaments, across leagues that do have heavy sponsorship, that do have a bit of money invested. And if they, like tournament organizers, are deciding to take this as an opportunity, then I applaud them for it. But I haven't seen any evidence in the year leading up to this to think that we are going to see a different situation than we have before.
Is there any examples of this that are actually going in a way that's relatively positive? Like the thing that comes to mind is you do have to go fairly further afield to find it, but like we've been speaking to a lot of players in the AFLW at the moment, and even just by dint of the fact that they're associated with the men's team almost makes it a no-brainer that this is going to happen, that there hasn't even been many conversations about the AFL happening and the AFLW not happening. Whereas in our part of the world, it seems that the two things are way too separate, and that there are two separate conversations, and unfortunately things will slip between the cracks as a result.
Yeah, and I think it very much depends on the sport. You know, there's been talk in England for a long time about the Women's Super League coming out from underneath the FA's control and going over to the Premier League's control. And, you know, last year, before the pandemic last year, they were kind of saying it'll probably be another couple of years before this happens. Now, goodness knows when it's going to happen with everything that has gone on. But I do think it, like, again, it's another one of those ones that you look at the teams that play, say, in the Women's Super League when it was voided last year, like, they're all associated with big men's clubs. You look at even the tiers 3 to 7 in England at the moment of women's sport has been, like, suspended until the end of the lockdown. A lot of teams that play in those leagues, you know, the Women's National League and stuff, they're associated with big clubs again, but those clubs aren't fighting for them. So it very much depends on the attitude, and the attitude to a sport as well. I think here, if there had been a situation maybe with, like, women's football or camogie, we probably would have seen a similar reaction to, like, what they have in Australia with the AFL. But I think we are still battling those perceptions, and we are still battling. When you see a lot of these sports being cancelled, it's kind of hard as well for the players to turn around and be mad, because it is a pandemic, and no one wants to be the spoiled person, to be seen as a spoiled person that's saying, you know, oh, well, it's so unfair on me, because life is unfair on a lot of people at the moment. But I think when you see the vast difference in the way the games are treated and the people's attitudes to it, it's just, it's very hard to take. You know, Helen Ward, she's plays for Wales. She's Wales's top. She scored more goals than Gareth Bale. And she quote tweeted when I announced the lockdown of football in England. And she said, I think I'm going to retire because I can't keep doing this. I can't keep, like, educating my kids at home. I can't train by myself all the time. We're not being given this support by the FA. And that's what you're dealing with. You know, these are elite sports people, no matter what sort of label you want to put on it. And when what we're seeing now is we haven't had the structures in place for decades, and it's really showing up, as it is in many areas of, like, you see it with our health system at the moment. You know, that you need those structures in place, and when they're not there, it results in situations like this where you have leagues going ahead, other ones not, bad decisions being made in terms of who deserves to be tested, who doesn't deserve to be tested. And at the end of the day, it does come down to money.
I think you're absolutely 100% right about the unconscious bias as well, because I know my own thought when I saw the rugby being cancelled and the under-20s and the women's were lumped in together, and my initial thought, to be absolutely honest, was, oh, well, look, that's fair enough, that makes sense. And it took some time, and it takes conversations like these to enlighten the rest of us as well. So worthwhile doing that. Kathleen, thanks a million for jumping on. Enjoy that.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot, Kathleen McNamee, sports writer, joining us there this morning to shine a light into a corner that we felt deserved that this morning. It is gone 8:30 on this Friday morning. Do keep a comments coming into it.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.